Well, before we read from Mark chapter 13, let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we do want to thank you this morning that we can look into your word and that we can receive that teaching that you have for us this morning by your Holy Spirit. We want to put no trust in ourselves, no trust in our own ability to work anything up, whether the speaker or the listener, but we are absolutely dependent upon you showing us things from your word this morning and revealing to us the things that we need to see. So Father, open our ears to hear, we pray. Grant that anointing of the Holy Spirit to both the speaker and listeners alike, we pray. Amen. Well, we started last week a new series on being a prophetic people, where Simon spoke to us from various passages, talked about the privilege of being a prophetic people, also the challenge of being a prophetic people. And the title of this week's talk is The Need to Be Watchful. The Need to Be Watchful. And we're going to have a look at a passage from Mark chapter 13. And I've just realised I'd rather read this morning from the New King James Version. I've got my NASB. If anybody got a New King James Version, they could lend me 1 minute. Yes, thank you. Okay, let's just read from Mark chapter 13. And we'll read from verse 24. But in those days, and after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. I wanted to read from that version because it brings up that idea of watching. Slightly different word used in the NASB. It talks about being on the alert. But actually there's two different words used in that passage for watch, which I'll just say something about in a second. But you see, we cannot be a prophetic people unless we are a watchful people. It's impossible. Unless we are watching in the way that God wants us to watch. Because there's the wrong kind of watching we can have, I suppose. And this has happened in the church where we are watching for events, trying to tick all the boxes, trying to make sure these things are happening, trying to almost predict when things are going to happen next. But the watching God has for us is all tied up with prayer. In fact, watching and praying go together in Scripture. We cannot separate them. So prophetic people need to be a watchful people because they need to be a prayerful people. We cannot separate those two things. So I want to look at this morning a couple of things really. What it means to be watchful and how we watch those two things together really. And then why? What are the consequences of that? So first of all, in verse 33, if you look at that verse again, it says that take heed, keep on the alert mind, says, but watch and pray. So the first thing there, that word watch means to be ready. It means to keep awake. And that's part of it, isn't it? You cannot watch if you're not awake. You cannot watch if you're not alert. It's impossible. If you put someone to stand watch or guard as a sentry, let's say, in the army, when you're facing an enemy and he's half asleep, then he is of no good to anybody. He's not going to see a thing. We need to be awake. We need to be alert. And it's so vital, therefore, that we stay awake, spiritually speaking, I'm talking about here. And therefore, we need to guard against those things that can cause us to slumber. And there's so many things around us that can cause us to lose that alertness and that watchfulness. And I haven't listed anything here, but I suppose you can surely think of many things that we come across in the world which dull our senses, our spiritual senses are dulled because we get too perhaps attached to things, or we're too close to something in the world, and it dulls our senses. So we need to be alert, we need to be attentive, we need to watch carefully that we're not allowing anything to cause us to fall into some kind of slumber, because that will render us ineffective. And we cannot be a prophetic people. We cannot be the people God wants us to be in this day if we are not fully alert and fully awake. And the Lord is able to keep us alert. He's able to keep us awake spiritually. So we guard against that. The second word for watch, which is the one that occurs mostly in this passage, in verse 34, for example, in verse 37, in the New King James at least, it's on the, to stay on the alert here in verse 34 and verse 37. My verse 37, what I say to you all, be on the alert or watch. Well, that word means give strict attention to. Give strict attention to. That to me speaks of not missing anything. Being alert in such a way that we don't miss things that God is trying to show us. So we need to be awake and alert in such a way that we do that. And there's a verse that I came across in Proverbs, which I think sort of speaks of this as well. Proverbs 8. You don't have to turn to this if you don't want to. Proverbs 8 and verse 34. It says this, and we will look at this again later as well. It says, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. So we need to give strict attention. We need to watch daily. There's to be no day, in a sense, where we are not watching. We need to give careful attention. But notice, it's watching daily at my gates. It's watching daily at my doorposts. We are to be watching where God wants us to watch. And that's all to do with us having that closeness with him, so that we can be led of him. And we can be watching where he wants us to watch, not missing the things that he wants us to see. Thirdly, both in that passage there in Proverbs 8, it talks about, well, it starts there in that verse 34, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates. You see, part of watching is to do with listening. And you see, unless the watchman is listening to what the Lord is saying, he cannot watch properly. And that is tied, also brought out in that Mark chapter 13, if you're still there, in that verse 33, it says there, take heed. And that's all to do with listening, isn't it? Giving heed to what the Master is saying. If we're not listening to what God is saying in this day, then we cannot watch as he wants us to watch. We cannot see the things that he wants us to see. We cannot discern what he is doing. And when we talk about watching, you're really looking at watching what God is doing. What he's doing in all of this. That's primarily what we're talking about. And that word take heed means to discern. It means to see, literally, to understand. And God wants us to understand in this day what he is doing. So part of watching is giving heed. What is he saying? What is he doing? And there's only one way we can get that understanding. There's only one way we can get that discernment. And Simon looked at this passage last week. I think it's worth looking at again. In Jeremiah 23. I'll just read a couple of these verses out. Because this was a day when the prophets themselves in Israel, in Jerusalem in particular here we're looking at, were not speaking the things that God wanted them to speak because they didn't heed what he was saying. And it says there in verse 18 of 23, but who has stood in the counsel of the Lord that he should see and hear his word? You see, unless we hear what God is saying, unless we come into his counsel, unless we come into that secret place and spend that time with him, on our own and corporately together. Unless we are doing that, we cannot give heed what he is saying. And therefore we cannot be a watchful people. We cannot see the things that he is doing and see the things that he is saying. Who has given heed to his word and listened? And then in verse 22 it goes on to say, but if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have announced my words to my people and would have turned them back from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Don't you sense something of God's longing there for his people, his prophetic people? For the prophets in particular in that day. But even for us today, God longs to have a people who will stand in his counsel, who will come before him and say, Lord, what are you doing? Because we can be taken up with so many trivial things in the church, can't we? So many things which are irrelevancies to God very often. I could name a couple, but I won't. Ask me later and I'll mention them to you. But you probably know the irrelevancies that we can be taken up with. But what is God doing? What is God saying? Where is he at work? What are his intentions and his purposes in this, that and this? We won't find that, gents. We won't, ladies and friends, we won't find that until we come into his presence and stand in his counsel. That verse 22, we see something of God's longing to have a people who will do that, who will come into his presence, spend time with him, know what he is saying, know what he's doing. And let that be a challenge to every one of us this morning, friends. If you want to be a prophetic people and a watchful people, you need to spend time in his presence. There's no shortcut there. Turn with me then to Matthew 26, please. And this part of the chapter from verse 36 looks at that Garden of Gethsemane experience of the Lord Jesus. And it says in verse 38, when he came back and he found them, first thing he says, let's read this in verse 38. Then Jesus said to his disciples, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. The Lord is wanting us to keep watch with him in this final hour, friends. Many think we're in the final hour of world history. And there's a sense that we are coming quickly to the end. Are we willing to keep watch with him for an hour? That final hour. Keep watch with me for an hour. Keep watching and praying, verse 41, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And perhaps the greatest barrier to us being a watchful people is our flesh. Because it's costly, isn't it, to spend time in his presence, to give him attention, to be in his word, to be trying to spend time with him in such a way that we're knowing what he's doing and where he's leading. And seeing the things that he's doing. It's costly, friends. And the flesh is perhaps the biggest barrier to this. But friends, where we determine to live by the Spirit, to count our flesh dead, then the Lord is able to give us the ability to watch with him. And that's why I want to bring out this morning. It's not watching as a sort of on our own. It's watching with him. We are to be a watchful people, but it's watching with him. And that means that we spend time with him. We know what he's doing and where he's leading, how he wants us to pray. And we're able to watch the things that he wants us to watch. And that's key, isn't it? If we're not watching with him, we won't be watching the things that he wants us to watch. We'll be caught up with lots of irrelevancies. But God wants us to watch with him. And how he wanted his disciples to watch with him then. So that the purposes of God might be accomplished. And that the disciples could be a part of that. And that's really what God's wanting. He wants us to watch with him in such a way that we become part of the work that he is seeking to do in our day. Not so that we can sort of stand by and be a spectator and think, oh, wonderful, look at what's happening there and over there. Look what God's doing over there. He wants us to be there, involved in those things with him. So we are to be watching, friends, with him. And going back to that verse in Mark 13 again, it was watching and praying, wasn't it? We watch so that we can pray, but we also watch through prayer. There's two things here, friends. And I'll talk about the one later, about watching in order to pray. But there's a watching that we do in prayer. As we come together, particularly corporately, to pray, God is able to show things to us. But also individually, as we come before him, God is able to show us things. So that we're able to see and to watch what he is doing. Or how he wants us to pray in a certain matter. What his purposes are in doing this. In doing that. He even led us into something of his secrets. About what's happening in the heavenly places. You see, we watch through prayer. Primarily. So if our prayer life isn't what it should be, we're not going to be a watchful people, friends. Can I encourage you? Give yourselves to seeking God. Give yourselves to prayer, to intercession. Spend time daily doing this. Don't let it just be a 5-minute thing every other day. Give him time. I know myself how much time I can waste each day. You know, spending time in front of the telly. Spending time doing things that could be spent in his presence. Yes, and my wife is just reminding me of the time I spend on the Kindle as well. You know, we can spend time doing things that, you know, where we could be spending it otherwise. So friends, just give ourselves to watching with him, but watching in prayer. That's what the Lord wants. And that's what the Lord wanted for the disciples then. He wanted them to be with him. Because he was in a place of deep grief and deep agony. And doesn't the Lord have grief today as he looks upon our land? Perhaps even as he looks upon the church. Deep grief in his heart. But he wants a people who will work with him to establish something of his purposes. And we can only do that as we watch with him, friends, in prayer. Now the disciples had a bit of an excuse here because they hadn't received the Spirit yet. And the flesh was dominant. But friends, we have received the Spirit of God. And if you're baptized in the Spirit in particular, you have an ability that God has given you. If you're not baptized in the Spirit, seek the Lord for that baptism in the Spirit. So you can be effective in these things. A couple more things along these lines and then we'll move on to the why. 2 Samuel 3:13. You don't have to turn to this if you don't want to. I'll read this up. But 2 Samuel 13 and verse 34. Now Absalom had fled, and the young man who was the watchman raised his eyes and looked. Friends, first of all, the encouragement here, this watchman was a young man. So you young people, you can start watching as well. Start learning to get before the Lord in prayer. You can watch. This is a young man who was entrusted with a great responsibility here, to watch. To see what was happening. So don't think that your age is a barrier. Yes, the Lord moves us on as we move on with him, but we need to start somewhere. The Lord wants us to begin watching with him. But notice that it said, he raised his eyes and looked. Friends, we need to raise our eyes beyond the immediate, beyond what's happening around us. We need to raise our eyes to see what's happening in the heavenly places. You see, there's a heavenly realm, there's a spiritual realm where God is at work, where the enemy is at work. And that's what we need to be seeing. And by and large, the church just does not see it. We are so earthbound. We don't raise our heads above what's happening around, and all we see is what's happening in front of us. And then we get caught up in all kinds of nonsense, like global warming and all the other things, end poverty, all these things that can so trap us and get our eyes off things that are really important, things that are happening in the heavenly places. God wants to show us these things, friends. God wants us to see these things, to watch what's happening in there. But we first have to raise our eyes. We have to raise our heads and see them and come before them. The Lord is able to show us things. We may not see everything, but what we need to see, God is able to show us if we have a heart for that, friends. And praise God, this watchman did raise his eyes and he looked and he saw the things that God wanted him to see. And friends, as we raise our eyes, as we allow the Lord to show us things, we will see the things, we'll watch the things that are important, the things that we need to see in order to be a prophetic people. If we do not raise our eyes, if we just see the things around us, and that's all we see, we cannot be a prophetic people. All we'll be is an earthbound people. And we won't see the things God wants us to see. One more thing about how we are to be watching. And that's Psalm 130. And we'll just read verse 6. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. Friends, we are to be watching with a longing in our hearts. A longing for his return, but a longing for his purposes to be accomplished as well. You see, when that longing is there, we will be watching expectantly. We'll be watching in a right kind of way. If the longing is not there, then we'll probably fall asleep. If these watchmen weren't looking in the right way, they would have fallen asleep, taken up with all the things that are happening around them. Friends, we've got to be careful again, haven't we? Because if we're taken up again by the things around us, too attached to this world and this life, then we won't have that longing in our hearts. Now, I speak to myself here, because that longing isn't what it should be at times. Because we're so caught up in the here and now, and we don't have eyes upon the greater reality of eternity. We are but a breath, friends. Do you understand that? We're but a mist. We will be gone tomorrow. This life is so short. And we need to have that longing for the greater reality of heaven, where we will spend eternity. Our minds can't even grasp that. Can't even grasp it. It's so great. So friends, let's ensure that we are watching with a longing in our hearts. And if you've lost something of that longing, ask the Lord to put it back. It's easy to lose, friends. Or maybe you've never had a longing for that. Well, ask the Lord to give it to you. Spend time with him. He'll give it to you. It's interesting, isn't it, that our brothers and sisters in parts of the world where life is very, very difficult have a tremendous longing for heaven, for eternity. They can't wait to get out of this life and to get with the Lord, to be with him. Because life is so difficult. Life each day has a risk of death to it. Now we have it quite easy, don't we, really? Quite easy, although things are changing. Maybe the Lord is seeking to do something through these things. Even about what's to happen, who knows? The Lord knows, of course. But isn't it interesting, even though we don't see exactly what's going to happen in the future, the Lord knows. And this is where we can watch with him. And we can be one step of the people around us. Our wonderful, intelligent, academic politicians don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. The Lord knows. And do you know what? As you watch with him, you can know something of it as well. Now that's amazing. That you and I, who are really nothing in the eyes of the world, I'm afraid to say, we can see things that the politicians cannot see. That's amazing. Our greatest academics, our greatest experts in this field and that field, cannot see what is about to take place in this land. But God knows. And his people can know too. We may not know every detail,
But we can see the things that God is doing and planning as he shows us them. But you see, we have to watch with him, friends. We have to watch in prayer with him. We have to spend time with him. God isn't going to come up to you one day and say, I'm going to give you the understanding of it if you don't spend time in prayer. He's not going to do that, friends. He's never done that. God has never worked that way. But as we give ourselves in prayer, as we spend time with him, God is able to show us the things that we need to see. And we don't need to be taken by surprise, therefore, when they happen. Because God has already given us an inclination of what's about to take place. Now, we have some things in Scripture, that Mark 13 and Matthew 24, other things, where we know at the end things are going to happen. So we already have that understanding from the written word. That's why we need to be in it. So, friends, let's have that longing in our hearts. Well, I want to look at why now. Why we so need to have that, well, to be watchful. God wants us to be watchful for several reasons. And I just want to mention one or two now. I'll turn back to Mark 13 first, if you're there. Well done. Even verse 29 of Mark 13. Even so, you too, when you see these things happening. You see, if we're not watching, we won't see them happening. And I don't mean just literally see them happening. I mean see them happening in the heavenly places. See what's happening there. As we see these things happening. When you see these things happening. Interesting, there's no if there. It's when these things are going to happen. All that it talks about here in other passages, they're going to happen. Some might even be happening already. When you see these things happening, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Or understand, or know that he is near. Friends, one of the consequences of watching with him is that we will have an assurance, a real understanding in our hearts that God is doing something. We will know that he is at work. We will understand that he's fulfilling his purposes. And we will know that his return is at hand. We will know these things, friends. He is right at the door. We will understand them. And that means, in verse 35, we will be ready. See, the purpose of watching, in this context, is that we will be ready. And not caught unprepared or unclothed. We will be ready, friends. And God wants a people that are prepared, that are ready. Not only for his coming, but ready and prepared to work with him now in the things that he's doing. Prepared for all that he does and wants to do. And I was just reminded as I was thinking about this in the Second World War. Many of the Jews in Germany were not ready. They were not watching as they should have been watching. They were taken up by all the transient things around them. And tragically, of course, we know what happened. But for those who did watch, of course, and had a sense in their heart something was wrong, they escaped. They escaped. And that leads me to the next thing, I suppose, in Ezekiel 33, verse 6. Let me just read this to you. If you want to turn there, I'll just read it to you. Because it talks about the duty of the watchman. But if a watchman sees... We've got the right passage there. Well, keep your finger in that. I want to read Luke 20:21 as well. That was the one I wanted. Luke 21, verse 36. First of all, and then we'll look at Ezekiel in a moment. But keep on the alert at all times. The emphasis at all times, friends. Because again, it is so easy to be watching today, but tomorrow to fall asleep. There's so many things that can press in and get our attention and distract us and stop us watching where we need to be watching. We have a very cunning foe, friends. And he will take every opportunity he can to distract us and to stop us looking in the place that we need to be looking. Watching the things that we need to be watching. And we need to keep watching at all times. Keep watching, then keep on the alert. At all times, praying that you may have strength to escape Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? That's a great consequence of watching. We can escape certain things. Well, I don't know what the Lord has in mind for us for escaping, but there are things that we can escape. Going back to the issue of the Jews in the Second World War. Those that were really watching what was happening had a real sense of unease and acted upon that, were able to escape. But those that were caught up in everything that was acting of, that was going on around them, were unable to escape, tragically. So friends, we need to be watching so that there can be an escape when there needs to be an escape. I don't know what that means for you and I. It might be different for you than for me. And also it says there, keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength. Again, there's that idea of prayer, keeping watch. But then when the Lord shows us something, we're then able to pray into that. So as we are seeking God, as we are praying, God is showing us things, then we can pray about it. And we can pray intelligently. And we can pray effectively. And we can pray for strength to escape, it says here. It's wonderful, isn't it? So we don't need to get caught out by things. And not this context here is about the Lord's coming, of course, but there are lots of other applications as well, aren't there? Where we can be caught out by things because we're not watching. That's true in our daily lives physically, but more so spiritually, friends. What if there's an error coming upon the church? Well, the Lord can show us that. What if there's something going to happen in the nation in the months and years ahead that we need to be wary of and guard against as a church? The Lord can show us. He can get us ready for that. And we may even be able to escape something of that by his grace. But it won't happen if we're not watching. We need to be watching and praying. And then Ezekiel 33. And verse 6. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and so it goes on. So one of the purposes of being a watchful people is that we can give warning. Now this watchman didn't literally see the sword coming, friends, I don't believe. It wasn't that he saw the army just over the hill waving their swords in the air. That's not what it means here. He saw this in the place of prayer. He saw this because he spent time with his God. He saw the very real dangers that were coming on the nation. And he was able to give warning. And one of the purposes of being a prophetic people and being a watchful people is that we can see what's taking place, what's about to take place, and we can give warning. We can take heed ourselves, but we can warn others as well. And what an opportunity for the gospel as well. That God would use it to save and to bring people to himself. Talks in, I think it's in Luke somewhere, of the hearts of men fainting because of what's coming upon the world. Friends, these are not easy passages, but they're in God's word, and therefore we can be absolutely sure these things will take place. Therefore we need to be watchful. We don't need to be caught out by them, but instead we can offer out the hope of salvation so that those who are shaken can come into the same place as you and I are in, with that tremendous hope that we have. We've been talking about this morning, that hope of salvation and eternity with Christ. So friends, we need to be watching so that we can give that warning, as and when the Lord wants us to. And we need to watch, of course, I mentioned this already, we need to be watching so that we can pray regarding these things. And that passage in Matthew 21 was very significant there. God is looking for watchmen who will pray and who will work with him in his purposes. Well, just two more things to look at. And I'm sorry about all these passages this morning. And if you just listen to this Song of Songs, we've covered quite a bit of the Bible this morning. But at least it stopped you falling asleep. Song of Songs 3, verse 3. Well, let's read from verse 1. These are just lovely verses.
On my bed, night after night, I sought him whom my soul loves. I sought him but did not find him. I must arise now and go about the city, in the streets and in the squares. I must seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him but did not find him. The watchmen who make the rounds in the city found me. And I said, have you seen him whom my soul loves? The watchmen knew where he was. Doesn't say that they told her where he was, but she asked them because they would know. The watchmen know where he is at, what he's doing, where he is at work. Friends, what a tremendous privilege that we can know where God is at work. Not only in our lives, not only in the life of the church, in the life of the nation, in Israel, in the wider nations. Now that's mind-blowing, friends, but it's true. And for those of you that have come into something of intercession and watching in this way, you know it to be true. You and I can know where God is at work. That is simply amazing, friends, but it's true. We can be these watchmen who can be approached by someone and say, where is he? What's he doing? Where is he at work? And we can say, he's there, he's doing this, he's doing that. God is not idle, friends. God isn't some remote, distant God. He is actively involved in the history of this world, bringing about his purposes. He is the God of history, of course. And friends, you and I can be people who work with him and know what he's doing and know where he is at. Isn't that amazing? What a privilege. Simon mentioned about the privilege of being a watchman. What a privilege it is to be a watchman, to be a watchwoman. Of course, that includes us all, not ruling out the women there, of course. We're all watchmen together. And then finally, Isaiah 62, we'll finish with this. Because I just felt this is something we need to mention as well this morning. Look at this morning. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. We are to be watchmen for the sake of his people Israel. We are to be watchmen for the sake of Jerusalem. Isn't that marvellous that God has taken Gentile believers and brought us into that place where we can watch with him for Jerusalem and for Israel? Amazing, friends. Our Prime Minister, our government can't do a thing to affect change in Israel. But you and I can work with God for the fulfillment of his purposes in his land, in his chosen people. To see salvation given to the Jews. To see them come back into the land. To see Jerusalem fulfilling all the purposes that God has for it. Friends, you and I may not be Jews or Messianic believers, but we can work with God in this. And if you've not captured something of that yet, well, friends, get before him and ask him to give you something of it. Because he wants us to work with him in this as well. It's critical, friend, because our understanding of end time events, if we don't understand what's happening in Israel and what's happening in that part of the world, what God is doing in Jerusalem, we cannot get a grasp of where we are, of where the clock in history is, of what is happening. But when we see, when we are watching as we need to be watching, and I don't mean just watching, just ticking all the boxes, I mean watching in prayer. As we do that, the Lord is able to show us. And then, praise God, we can then work with him and see his purposes fulfilled. Praise God. Well, it's a privilege, friends. And we need to praise him for that. But we also need to give ourselves to it as well. Let's pray.